Hello, and welcome to Season 10 of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. I am your host, Lindsay Recknell, a workplace mental health professional, speaker, podcaster, and an expert in hope. Bringing you these episodes with these incredible guests is my absolute favorite. I am so grateful for the privilege to share stories of transformation and to help you move through your own transformation with our one-on-one work together and with the help of the professionals who come on the show. The science of hope and positive psychology has had such a huge impact on me and my work. So I love that I also get to share knowledge, research, and stories from the evidence-based science as well. It is my sincere wish that you hear something that resonates with you in these episodes, that you feel the contagious power of hope, and you are motivated to take action over what you can control, all towards creating a future better than today. I have such a passion for this work, and I love connecting with my clients, with you, my listeners, and with the guests on this show to help create transformation. This week's guest is Jess Fraser, a certified award-winning life and transition coach through Coactive Coaching and an active member of the International Coaches Federation. She's also a workshop and retreat facilitator, podcast producer, blogger, and the author of The Courage to Change Journal. She's a mother too, a dreamer, and a genuine book geek. At any given time, she has two books on the go, squeezing in reading wherever she possibly can. Jess and I are definitely aligned there. This is a very hopeful conversation of transformation, dreaming, and possibility. So let's get to it. Hello, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
I feel like we've been waiting a long time for this, and it's kind of perfect timing because you have had quite a transformational journey over the last couple of months, and I cannot wait to hear about it. So maybe let's just jump right in there and share with us how you use hope to motivate action in your life.
Oh, well, I feel like hope has been a massive part of my world, especially over this new year, specifically. I think I'm going to do a bit of the recency effect, I think, right now. My husband and I are just newly separated. We kind of been going through this separation over this last 5 months. And this is actually, you know, Lindsay, the first time I've spoken to anybody on a podcast about this. So like, this is a privilege for you and obviously how comfortable I am with you too. And it's been about making tough choices in this last year and having hope that I don't know where it's going to take me, but I feel in my heart it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to go in the right direction just by wading through the tough stuff, you know? And obviously, I know we were supposed to do some recordings before, but you were doing some adventuring too. And so I also just came back from Alaska. And I think that was an eye-opener for me and also something that was life-changing of helping me gain hope that I can navigate myself as a single woman for the first time in my adult life and be able to adventure, explore, and I don't know. There's so much out there right now. And I feel that that's where hope really comes into my world. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I do know that whatever I do or think or see or experience now will directly impact my tomorrow.
Oh, that feels so good. And thank you for sharing your heart with us. I feel quite, you use the word privilege. I do. I feel quite lucky to have this opportunity to speak with you about this because it feels super, super powerful and transformational. I know, you referenced my road trip that I did back in April with my dog. Yeah. And it, you know, I left my poor husband at home and he had to work and Squeak and I got to adventure in, up and down the Oregon coast, but it was quite eye-opening and a lot of self-awareness. You know, you talk about being a woman on your own in adulthood. I've never been on a solo vacation for 13 days. And it was transformational. Could you tell us about your similar experience in Alaska?
Oh, well, you know, I think whenever we've gone on vacation with other people, so I'm a mom as well, and my daughter is getting ready to go to college, I've always been very cognizant of the people around me and making sure that I was always taking care of them and their needs were being met. And there's always some sort of compromise, like who wants to go where for dinner and when do you want to get up? And I didn't have any of that in Alaska. And it was so weird to have that experience. And I just, if anybody wants to go and check it out, my YouTube video series that I'm doing right now for Alaska, the very first one that I had released on experiencing Alaska, I was sitting in the Anchorage hotel and I had been up for probably 5 hours. So I got up super early in the morning and it was at 10 o'clock and I was like, okay, I finally have to go get out of this hotel room and I have to go and explore and find a breakfast place. And I was avoiding it. I was avoiding and I bucket list dream for over like a decade, more closer to two decades. And I didn't want to leave the security of this hotel room for some reason. And I was like, man, what is it about this that I needed to challenge? And, you know, I think we're both professionals, you know, and I think we're not afraid to chat with people and put ourselves out there and network and interact with individuals. But this was also a very personal trip for me. And when I had these interactions, I wasn't interacting as a life coach. I wasn't interacting as a retreat host or an author or a podcast host. I was authentically showing up as myself. And I really was kind of second guessing that for myself. So this trip was just, it allowed me to see how I can communicate with people on a personal level and go where I wanted to, when I wanted to, have what I wanted to eat. And also it was a road trip. So I was driving a lot. And I feel like, Lindsay, you can relate to that, right? That was a lot of driving. Yeah.
Yeah, we did 3,500 kilometers. So I don't know what that translates to, 2,200 miles maybe. Over 13 days.
13 days. And there's a lot of that, like that solitude, I sat with myself a lot. There was a lot of tears, a lot of like enlightenment and aha moments. And it just felt good. It really did feel good. And there was a level of freedom and exhilaration through this journey. Yeah. Alaska, I left.
I cannot underestimate the power of a solo vacation. Sorry to interrupt you there. It just, you know, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I, you know, as an adult, as someone who has a partner or is attached, I mean, even over the last 20-ish years, the idea of going on a solo vacation, especially when you're with someone else or you have a family or whatever, it's kind of looked down upon or people judge you. Like, what do you mean you're going on vacation without your kids or without your husband? You know, like, is that what, did you experience any of that when you started talking about this trip that you were going to take by yourself?
You know, the funny thing is actually the opposite. So I'm having these conversations with people and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this. And who knows, maybe after they walked away from the conversation, they may have thought something different, but they're like, all by yourself? Mm-hmm. And there was almost that level of like astonishment. And then it grew into deeper conversations of people really honestly admitting that they have been wanting to do something like this for a really long time. And coming back from Alaska, everyone has been asking, or they, you know, want to see the pictures and they have all these different questions. But I feel like I braved what a lot of people would like to do, but feel too, that's too selfish to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I totally get that, that, you know, it's that unconscious bias that we hold, other people's expectations of us or what we're supposed to do. Right. And that feeling when you see other people doing what you maybe just don't quite yet have the courage to do yourself. That feels hopeful to me. Truly. That feels hopeful to me. And, you're right. I've had a similar response since we've come home from our trip on, oh, I'd really love to do that. Well, then you should, you know, maybe you could look into that.
And the response I usually get to that is maybe one day.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe one day. And maybe this was just my time, but I realized after doing this, Lindsay, I'd say to any of the people listening today is, don't wait for someone else to do this with you. Just go ahead and do it yourself. And you can find the way, whether it's money or time or commitments, those are excuses. And maybe you can't go and do a month-long trip or cross Canada trip like I'm going to do later on this year, or but you can do tiny bits of it too. You know, it can, and it is possible. It's just allowing yourself the opportunity, giving yourself the permission to figure it out and work through it.
Interesting you about the baby steps, because I remember before I went on this trip, before I even broached the idea of the trip, I was on a walk with my best friend and I said, "Al, I have a secret dream." She goes, "What are you talking about?" And I go, "I have this secret dream that I go on a solo vacation," because I had, so the reason I went to Oregon is I did a marathon and I had that booked forever. And I was going to fly and rent a car and it would be fine. And I said to her, like, "I have this secret dream that I spend the entire month of April on a road trip with or without the dog. I know Robbie can't go, my husband. So like, why not?" And she goes, "Well," and she kind of looked at me and she's super supportive. And of course you should do that. And she said, "Well, you know, like, let's talk through this. Why does it have to be a secret dream? Why can't it just be a dream? And then why does it have to be a dream? Why can't it be reality?" And it worked out into 13 days. But just goes to show that, you know, a month, I couldn't work out a month because of whatever work commitments or life commitments or I just didn't want to be away that long, but I could do 2 weeks or you could do a week or start by doing a weekend for goodness sakes, you know, like the options, you could definitely figure out a way once you get the excuses out of your head, excuses out of your way, because they are truly most of the time they are just mental roadblocks that are getting in the way. And they are impossible to overcome.
They can be. And, you know, and I think I'm not going to discredit or value any of those things that are in our lives right now that are taking those precedence or priorities. For sure, they're important and sure, they need to be honored, but there's ways around it, right? There's always, you know, you may go on a trail and the tree falls over. What are you going to do? Stop? You stop in your tracks and like, I can't go anywhere. Maybe turn around. But I'm going to say most of the time you try to figure out a way around that big fallen tree and you move on. Right. And that's the same concept when you're planning some of these adventures and I say adventures because this year, and I don't know if you're one to do this, Lindsay, but I just started doing this a couple of years ago with one of my other coaching friends, is picking a word for the year. And this year I started off with simplicity and then I thought, oh, I also need adventure. So I have two words, and adventure and simplicity seem to be a massive part of my vocabulary now, which I think I've used adventure a lot already in this podcast.
And I do that as well. My word for this year is discipline, which when I tell people kind of roll their eyes at me because I'm reasonably well disciplined, but there's definitely areas where I want to be better. And so just having that word top of mind definitely keeps me, you know, prioritizing what I want. It's interesting too, when you think about like things you want to do, adventures you want to have. Somebody asked me, it was earlier this week, and we were talking about turning 40 and lots of people having expectations around turning 40. And, you know, these are the goals I wanted to have accomplished in my life at this time. And I'm not as far ahead as I'd like to be. And we talked about reframing that to experiences. What kind of experiences do I want in my life? What, you know, how can I get closer to experiencing those adventures or doing those things that are going to really resonate with my heart? What are you going to experience in your life that's going to resonate and feel important and move you closer to that experience of life?
Yeah, I instantly, when you're talking about that, I think of alignment. You know, it's like moving closer to where you want to be. And when we're in an alignment, things feel easier. Our energy levels are different. And we come from a place of more, I'm going to say, we come from a place of abundance and capability and trust in ourselves, opposed from a place of lesser than or working against the grind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you finding that these are conversations that you're having a lot in your coaching work?
Yeah. I'm trying to think now with, when it comes to, when we're kind of going back to what we were just talking about. So let's think of like our words and discipline and adventure and simplicity and being in alignment. What I'm finding with individuals is they feel like going towards and working towards their dreams has to be hard work. I hear it all the time. Hustle, hard work, discipline even could be, because it's a different perspective for every person what a word means. And this is something that's interesting is I think we could do it and it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to drain us and take every piece of us to be able to make the changes that we're wanting to make. But again, it is about changing that mindset and figuring out where your alignment is. Because when you're out of alignment, that's when the hard stuff happens. You know, if you're in a job that you're not happy with or a relationship that is not working for you, it ends up becoming hard work. And I just feel like that's where I get that a lot in our conversations as clients or even people when we've chatted about the adventures I've done. They're like, oh man, that's nice to have a dream. I'm like, oh, I can hear in your verbal cues and their nonverbal language that they're like, I'm used to not getting my dreams. I'm used to it only being an untouchable story that I tell myself. And I was like, oh, as a coach, I'm like, let's touch those things. I want you to play with it every single day. You know, those dreams they're meant to be touched and fondled. And that may sound really bad actually now that I've said that, but you know what I mean? They're meant to be played with and they're not fragile. Trust me, those dreams are so agile and adaptable. And you know, where that dream will take my clients or any of those people that are listening to us today is better than what we can possibly imagine. What I hoped from Alaska, I got way more than. You know, I'm doing an Alaskan retreat in 2023 now. Never once even thought of that until I was in Alaska and started having these amazing conversations with people that live there. And I was like, this has got to happen. Didn't think that was going to be the possibility. There's so many things that will come from you following your dreams that you don't see possible because we don't know all of our possibilities yet. We're limited to what we know from our past experiences and what we vicariously see through other people's adventures.
I'm on that Alaska retreat list, right? We talked about this. I better be on that list.
Oh my gosh, Lindsay, people would love you to be there.
I just want to come as a participant. I don't mean as anything else. I just want to be a participant.
Participant, host, party, whatever it is, they need to have you a part of the party.
Amazing. I'm totally in. I really love that imagery of playing with our dreams, like making them tangible, you know, molding them, manipulating them into what's possible and like, you know, stretching them out and seeing, you know, could we go in this direction? And could, like, it feels like a blob in my hand that I'm like maneuvering around and manipulating. And people that are listening, you can't see me, but I've totally got this like thing in my hand and Jessica can see me. But that's what it feels like. And I like that tactileness of it because then it feels realer. That's not a word, but like it feels more real. Yeah. Like it is possible. Like we could actually do something with it because it's tactical and tangible with that imagery. I really like that.
Well, you know, instantly I meant to say this too when you were talking about this, but that friend of yours that you went for a walk, man, she is a keeper.
Right? Okay. We've been friends for 32 years. Like she is all that and more.
Wait, because remember when you guys started off talking about your dream, it was in your head, your rule that you created for yourself was like, it needed to be like a month. And then she was like, hold on a second. She took that little tangible piece of clay that you had in your hand and she started playing with it and be like, come on, let's figure this out. And it ended up landing at 13 days and it worked. It actually got you from doing it, from not doing it to actually doing your road trip solo, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is that for so long, my dreams were a second life. And my first life got the top priority and my second life got the steam and the exhaust and the fumes of whatever I had left. My second life was always my dream life. And so it never went anywhere. It never really fully got honored because I was always living a double life. I was a double agent, right? And one life enough can be exhausting, right? So let's like, I needed to really kind of take this in. And this is where I'd bring with my clients is, what if you lived one life in alignment? Your dream life, your everyday life are all one. And what if you got to touch your dreams every single day? Every day. And, you know, Lindsay, I feel like you did that where you started to play with it a little bit. Where are you going to go? How long is this going to be? Does the dog get to come with me or not? How many days can I make it happen? And what's not realistic? And as you started to play with it and plan it out, did the excitement grow? I'm sure it did. Right. And it felt more real too, right? And I think that that's what's kind of nice too, is when you start to touch it every day, you get to taste that a little bit more, right? And it tastes different from one person to the next. That could be a fine wine for one person. It could be tequila for me, right?
Well, and it's neat what you're talking about, because exactly that progress towards the dream, that planning, the thinking about it, the overcoming the barriers and obstacles, you are describing the hope circuit. You are describing how hope works in the brain. And listeners of the podcast have heard this before, but for those new listeners, I'll just take you quickly through it using this example of a road trip. Let's say you're going to go on a road trip, a solo vacation. You're going to go on a solo vacation, whatever that looks like for you, solo vacation. And so that dream of a solo vacation starts in the hope circuit in your hippocampus. And your hippocampus is where dreams are made, where dreams and visions hang out. You can think of it as your elephant because it looks like an elephant's trunk, but also an elephant doesn't forget. And so those dreams and memories are made in that hippocampus. And then they move along to the second area, which is the amygdala. And in the amygdala, you can think of this as your guard dog. This is where fight, flight, or freeze happens. This is where, you know, your brain goes, is this good for me? Is this not so good for me? What do I do with this? And sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't, but our guard dog is there to protect us. So our solo vacation is now, you know, being weighed by our guard dog, and guard dog decides, yep, cool. It's good for us. Let's move along to the third section of the hope circuit, which PS is actually the limbic system in our brain. But the third section is the prefrontal cortex, the PFC, which you can think about as your wise old owl. So this is where the planning happens. This is where the program management happens. This is where we decide where to prioritize and what to happen first. And we go from a month to 13 days, or we go from, you know, Alaska to cross Canada. You know, that's where the flexibility and the molding of this dream happens, is in that PFC. And this is literally how your brain works on hope. Your brain also can't distinguish fake memories from real memories. So any vision you have of this dream is as powerful in your limbic system as the memories of the actual solo vacation you take afterwards. You can literally grow your hope through the memories and the planning and then reliving the experience afterwards to continue to grow that hope. Yeah, it's super, super powerful and like based in science.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you hope, right?
Yes.
And hope feeds hope. I almost see that what I'm hearing from you in that case there, and this is something where, yes, you know, we started this conversation today, me telling you that, you know, I'm in the midst of selling our house and our separation with my husband. And Alaska has been something that I held on to through this process, and, you know, creating my YouTube videos and sharing my posts after and has been very therapeutic to relive and remind me of those memories and where I want to take that and where I want to go and what is it that I want to repeat and go through that hope system all over again, because it felt good. You know, my guard dogs are saying now, doors open, girl. You tried it once, you tested it. We trust that you can do this and we're going to stay safe. Go for it. But it does take a bit of bravery to, you know, allow the guard dogs to like have their say and then continue to be like, I trust that this is the reason why you want me to stay and not do this, but I do need to do this and be able to go through and move on to the next part of hope so that you can really start feeling it and living it and it being an everyday part of your life. I think that's got to be an everyday part of our lives. If we're losing that, you know, I feel like this is what your whole podcast is about, Lindsay, is keeping that in our hearts every single day.
And continuing to take those actions towards that hope, you know, because otherwise hope without action is just a wish. So we can, you know, we can continue to leverage those dreams in our brain as as the visions, as the dreams themselves, but it's even so much more powerful when we can execute on some of those, small or big or somewhere in between. You know, it doesn't, we just get to leverage even just that progress along the goal with baby steps along the way is super, super powerful.
Yeah, you got to celebrate the little wins.
Well, and I like what you said about courage and bravery. I know that those, speaking of language, those two words are very near and dear to your heart. Don't you have a new book you've just published around these topics?
I do. So I just published Courage to Change, the Mindful Goal Setting Journal. And honestly, even what you're chatting about has given me new perspective of what this journal really does, because it really is about that hope loop for you. And as a listener, you know, it takes you through the guard dog or the thought process of what is it that you really, really want for yourself. It allows you in a space where you can define that and then take that and bring it through those guard dogs and be like, okay, what are you experiencing today? Where are you at right now? And what do you want to focus on for this dream? And then creating one actionable for yourself that day. And it does, it progresses as the months go on with this journal too, but it allows you to reflect and really understand where you're at. And some days you're going to have big movements, and other days it could just be that you get to daydream about your dream and it's just 5 minutes that day. That's great. It's a win, right? And then there's days where you maybe booked that vacation or made those big, bold changes, but it does talk about being able to have the small wins and being able to move them forward and living one life with that. No separate lives for your dreams, no fumes. It needs to be front and center. Think about it first thing in the morning and the last thing that you think about going to bed. That's what this journal is really good for. Mm.
And we can find that journal where?
You can find it on Amazon.com or .ca. I am also going to be touring it across Canada. So that is what I've started doing now in Ontario. I'm hoping come September, moving out into the East Coast, and then come the winter, moving over to the West Coast as well. So, you know, it could be in a store near them through Intergo or Chapters.
Oh, amazing. And you better be stopping on that tour here in Calgary so that we can hang out in real life.
I cannot wait to do that. It is a date.
And so is that what your Cross Canada tour is all about in the fall? Is this book tour, but also a bit of a sense of, or a journey of self-discovery now that you've got the bug?
Yeah. You know what, Lindsay, you nailed it. It's like, this is finding who I am all by myself, you know? And I thought a beautiful pairing, actually, when this journal came out in March, and I never would have expected that I would have been a single woman going into 2022, and nor would I have expected all of these changes and transitions. So this journal actually really has helped me through my own process, especially most recently. But as I started thinking about Canada and traveling, and I was like, well, I could, my business is so adaptable and I can do it on the road. And then I thought, I can also tour this book and really start to get to intimately know people one-on-one, face-to-face, have these beautiful conversations in the bookstore, which is like my dream. I'm such a book geek. And be able to combine, again, my work, my passion, and my dreams. One life.
One life. No player B.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, I love it. It's so beautiful. So, Jessica, what gives you hope?
People like you, Lindsay, and conversations that I have every single day. And I know that sounds so corny, but what gives me hope is the interactions that I have every single day and people that I chat with and seeing the small acts of bravery that people are doing. They may not see how impactful that is to other people, but I feel it when I see them do those things. And that gives me bravery too. And hope really does.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Where can we get a hold of you when we want to learn more about your retreats and your coaching and your next book and all of those things and your podcast?
Yeah. So it's pretty easy across the board. So if you type in Your Inner Vitality on Facebook, Instagram, even for the podcast as well as my website is yourinnervitality.com. I am all there and I would love for you to come on over, join the community and say hello. I would love to learn what people's courage is or hope is for themselves and see what I could do to be able to be a part of their journey as well. I would love and love, love, love to have that.
Amazing. And we will link to all of those places, including the links to your books, in the show notes. So make it real simple and easy for people to get a hold of you. Jessica, you are a delight. It has been so great every time I get a chance to talk to you. And this podcast episode is no different. So thank you so, so much for joining me. It's very cool how the timing worked out for you to be able to share your Alaska journey and your upcoming book tour. Yeah, it's super, super cool how hope works in our world. And it's been a real pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you. And I so appreciate you, Lindsay, having me on mine. I can't wait till you come on to my side too.
I know, can't even wait. Be so good. All right, my friend, you enjoy the rest of your day. Take care. Yet another incredible story. I mean, I literally say that after every episode, but I wouldn't publish episodes I didn't think were incredible now, would I? I mentioned in the introduction that it's my sincere privilege to share space with these guests, to bring their stories and their expertise to the podcast airwaves. And honestly, I learned so much from their wisdom at the same time. That's the thing about this work. It's in the storytelling, the language we use to express our innermost narratives. That's what has the most power of transformation. Sometimes when we don't know the words to use, we just won't say anything at all. And that can lead to negative rumination when the stressors in our lives can lead to burnout. The topic of burnout, stress, and why the differences between the two matter is something we talk a lot about in my most popular training workshop titled From Burnout to Hope. In this 60-minute workshop, you'll learn to apply evidence-based strategies and tactics to reverse your feelings of overwhelm and languishing and activate the hope circuit in your brain for a future better than today. It's transformational, personal, and, dare I say, guaranteed to increase your hope levels. You've heard me say it 100 times, but I believe that fear is louder in the dark. And talking loud about the fears, aspirations, and the anxiety-inducing situations we find ourselves in is an amazing way to move towards the transformation of a future better than today. If you'd like to learn more about language and how you can leverage the science of hope in your life, I'd love to share the From Burnout to Hope training workshop with you. You can find more information about it on my website at expertinhope.com/burnout to hope. I truly believe that the future will be better than today by taking action over the things we can control. And conversations like this really reinforce that hope. Looking forward to keeping the conversation going, so reach out anytime. As always, I'm here when you need me.